Welcome to the AI and Data-Driven Leadership Podcast, the show where we spotlight the innovators and leaders who are transforming the future using the power of data and AI. I'm your host, Dean Gaeta, author, podcaster, and founder and CEO of Infogistics and Slingshot. We're living in an exciting era, a time where builders, leaders, and entrepreneurs are using data and AI to fuel unprecedented growth, create groundbreaking products, and drive meaningful transformations in their industry. If you're ready to learn from some of the brightest minds and uncover actionable insight to take your business to the next level, you're in the right place. And if you have a story to share, stick around until the end of the show. We'll tell you how you can become our next guest and inspire leaders around the globe. Welcome to the AI Data-Driven Leadership Podcast. Let's dive in. I'm really excited to have Robert Douglas on the show today from Open Strategy Partners, and really cool background. I did a little prep before interviewing you or bringing on the show, but Robert, could you maybe just give some background, introduce yourself? I think you'll do a better job than myself, but it's really excited to have you here on the show.
Yeah, thanks, Dean. Yeah, happy to do. Robert Douglas, I'm the entrepreneur in residence at Open Strategy Partners. We are a tech marketing company. We do content marketing and content strategy, principally for B2B tech companies. And the Open Strategy part of it is about what we're going to talk about today. It's our concept of open source marketing that we believe can open new channels to people and companies and bring a new mix of freedom and cost savings to your marketing stack. As for myself, I've got a programming background for more than 20 years. It's been recently resurrected in a way by the advent of vibe coding and co-pilots. I've never had so much fun coding as in the last couple of years, but I've also been through several cycles of entrepreneurial successes and failures of my own making sometimes. So I've done just about everything in a tech company that you can imagine needs being done. And I live in Germany.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm really curious about this kind of open source point of view in go-to-market and marketing. Yeah, can you explain more? What does that mean?
Sure. For us, we call ourselves an open source marketing company. And for us, it means three things. First of all, we use open source tools to do the marketing. So wherever possible, we're not pedantic about it. If you're married to Hootsuite or Google Analytics, we're not going to push an alternative on you. But where possible, we employ tools for ourselves that we can control or self-host, where the data is ours, and where we don't get locked into ever-increasing monthly or yearly subscriptions that barely justify the spend. And we feel good about that, and we help our customers also do that when possible. Number two, it means that the things that we build or think of, insofar as possible, we release as open source materials. And if you visit our blog or our GitHub repository, then you'll see that we frequently release thought guides or documents that are templates for your own use, or in fact, working software, as in our recent release of the Model Context Protocol implementation of four of our principal marketing strategies. We call it the Open Strategy Partners Marketing Tools. And I'll tell you a bit more about what Model Context Protocol, MCP, is, but it's the most exciting thing in AI for marketers right now. It's worth talking about. So those are the first two points, open source tools that we use, our own software and ideas insofar as possible. And the third plank of open source marketing is we have and maintain close proximity to actual large open source projects like CMSs like Drupal and Typo3 and marketing automation tools like Mautic. We embed ourselves in the communities and make contributions and know the actors who are building and using those software products. So we know how to think like an open source project and have a close affinity towards them.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I never heard of MCP from a go-to-market marketing point of view. Could Could you like share, what is that? I don't even know what, what is that?
Sure. So Model Context Protocol is something that Anthropic, which is, if you follow the field at all, is maybe the second most important AI company on Earth behind OpenAI and themselves. Anthropic runs the Claude, Opus, and Sonnet models, and they're fantastic, especially for coding. And in November, they came out with a new protocol, which is something open that they released for everybody to use. It's been described as the USB-C for agent tool use, and that's a pretty apt description for it. What it allows is your AI models to be able to now freely use tools at will and make decisions in their own reasoning about what tools are needed to accomplish a task. So, for example, you could have a Hootsuite Model Context Protocol connector. You could also have a Google Analytics Model Context Protocol MCP connector. You could have a connector that is able to look at websites in your browser, and you could have the Open Strategy Partners marketing tools MCP, all active at once. What would that allow you to do? That would allow your model to use those things with each other without having prior integration code written for it. It reasons about how to use them. For example, it could look at your website using the browser. It could get a page from the website, and it could then run the text through the, it could look at Google Analytics and maybe pick the page it looks at based on the data that it sees there, so that it's used two tools. Then it uses the Open Strategy Partners MCP to freshen up the content, to make it better SEO optimized, to make the feature benefit solution triplets better. That's something that we talk about in our marketing. MCP is really the thing that allows AI models to really take over and do work for you, not just spit back texts or silly images. It really allows them to do work. In some version of that universe, it could also update your web page with the updated text and then send out a newsletter to your newsletter about the change or about the new post. It's almost endless. Anything that previously had an API or an OAuth 2 integration that you could connect can now be controlled by your LLM.
Yeah, that's interesting. But you guys created an MCP of your website or an MCP of your kind of go-to-market strategy of how you market, create content? Or can you talk more about what is the implementation of your MCP do?
It does four things in particular. First, it's our general writing guide. So we're a content marketing agency, and we've open sourced our writing guide. You can plug our writing guide into Claude or ChatGPT and benefit from our style and the things that we look for. Right. Second of all, for people who are editing content, we've developed a whole series of editing codes that communicate to the next person or the model that is looking at the editing why we think it should be changed. So we realized it's not enough to just do a red line through a sentence and rewrite the sentence. You have to express to the original author or the next editor why. And some of these codes have things like FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt. Our own personal viewpoint is that it's not great to market on FUD. So we identify that. And in addition to editing it, we'll also mark it up as FUD. This is why I edited it, because this is fear, uncertainty, and doubt. Or CRISP is another one. If something's too long, it's not snappy enough, it needs to be more concise, then we'll rewrite it, make it shorter, and we'll write CRISP. That's the editing code that triggered, the reason that triggered this edit is it needs to be CRISP. And there are 20 or 30 of those. And our MCP teaches the model to edit your code looking for those same things and editing it to correct those same flaws and then to communicate to you about the edits in that way so that you understand why it's been done.
Yeah, that's
cool. There's another one that does just general SEO optimization, finds keywords, can help you do crosslinks. There's another one in there that does what we call a value map. That solves the problem of product positioning. So saying, what is the product? Whom is it for? What problem does it solve? What benefit do they get? And it looks at any of your content and it extracts the technical or solution features that your product offers. And it categorizes them into little groups to justify the claims that you make as a marketer about your product. And we've open sourced all of this. You can just plug it in and use it.
Yeah, that is cool. So like, how is the mechanics of it? So you have this, you wrote this protocol to interact with the LLMs, but you must have to have tooling in front of it. So it's, how does that work? How do I say I want help with SEO, or I want help with my messaging and follow your framework? Like, what's the actual, like, how does that work?
So in general, with Model Context Protocol, how that works is that the LLM client that you're using to use an LLM has to be enabled to do that. And soon they will all be. Right now, ChatGPT, since they didn't invent it, they had to decide whether to adopt it. Now they've made that decision, and everybody expects new versions of ChatGPT to soon have Model Context Protocol enabled. The current best client for testing this out is Claude Desktop, and very soon also the web-based version of Claude and other models will also support this. A lot of people who use this already are coders, and all of the coding tools like Cursor that everybody's crazy about are enabled with Model Context Protocol, and it allows them to use these tools. If you want to get started right now, today, download Claude Desktop and just Google Model Context Protocol, Claude Desktop, and you get some instructions about how to enable it, and then you can choose which Model Context Protocol servers you enable. And that's what we've released, is a Model Context Protocol server. Now, in practice, what that looks like is that they're enabled for Claude, and Claude sees them during the chat. And Claude can see all of the enabled servers that it has available. Previous to a couple of weeks ago, Claude didn't even have a web search functionality. So a lot of people were using Model Context Protocol to give Claude web search functionality, because we've probably all seen by now, if you are using an LLM and you need facts and fact-based reasoning about current events especially, it's helpful if it can go to a web search and use that information in its response. So a lot of people were using MCP and Claude for that. But it sees all these tools, and if the thing that you instruct Claude to do can be enhanced or achieved using these tools, it reasons on its own about which tools to use. And a lot of them have parameters. If you're going to do a web search, you need search terms. It writes the search terms for you. It might even do multiple searches in a row using different terms if it doesn't find what it's looking for first. Or it might have a secondary question based on what it read in the first go, and it'll do more web searches. In the case of our tool, it's helpful to say, hey, Claude, I've got this blog that I'm writing. Can you give it a look and apply the Open Strategy Partners or OSP methodologies to it? And then it'll use the editing codes, and it'll show you the sentences that should be changed. It'll use the style guide and tell you where you're adhering and where you're not adhering to the style. If you ask it for the SEO optimization, it'll rewrite it with that. And then you can just copy that, paste out. Or if you have another tool in there, like a WordPress connector or a Drupal connector or Contentful, whatever CRM you're using, you can basically just ask it to push it on out.
Yeah, that is neat. Good job. I like that, Robert. Yeah, every time I think about MCP, I'm thinking about data. I'm thinking about this. I wasn't thinking about like a business construct framework, and love it. Good job. And so what about today? Like, even I know our teams are worried about SEO, worried about less keyword searches and AI summaries and people doing what you just described. They're in their favorite LLM and getting their information and facts. But then what do product companies do, or any company that wants to like appear? Like, what's your strategies around that and on this change from browser search to getting our answers from these LLMs?
I have some interesting data for you. Based on our own statistics, so this is not a broad sample, but I wanted to come to the podcast prepared to answer the question, is it paying off for us to be open source marketers? And could the benefits that we offer spill over to our clients? And I think the answer is yes. So I want to talk about our traffic generation on our website. Because as you mentioned, keyword and SEO is it's never been a more questioned art than now, because nobody knows where it's going. Everybody sees that it's changing. Google itself doesn't seem to see the future clearly, or they don't show everybody where it's going. And there's the rise of GEO, or in-chat search results. So everybody's starting to see traffic from ChatGPT or Perplexity on their statistics, and they're wondering, should I be optimizing for that? Is that different than optimizing for Google? And everybody's overlooking a very interesting traffic source. Everybody's thinking about like LinkedIn and other socials. For some set of the audience that we've got today, I'm guessing that GitHub is an overlooked referral. And I've got some interesting statistics, because when we decided to be an open source marketing agency and start publishing our know-how on GitHub, it wasn't even code. It was just the writing guide that I mentioned in text. It was just a markdown file in a GitHub project linking back to our website. And magic has happened by publishing our know-how on GitHub. I want to tell you, after looking at our statistics, that we get 5 times more referral from GitHub than LinkedIn.
Wow.
And these are people who are not saturated with marketing. On LinkedIn, you try to market on LinkedIn, you've got everybody's shields up. They've got their bubble filters on. They've got everything in place to protect themselves from your outreach and your message, and they don't want to hear it. And only when you punch through the algorithm in the specific way do you ever get it in front of them. But on GitHub, people find you because you offer exactly what they're looking for and they're curious. So they come to you with a totally different mindset. I'm happy to report that after looking further into the statistics, we get 7 times more traffic on our website as from ChatGPT and Perplexity combined. And we're a marketing agency. We're not a code writing agency. So I feel that using GitHub for what it's for, which is storing and versioning publicly available text-based goods, such as a writing guide or a manifesto or some know-how, some information, some knowledge that you have, as well as if you have code to offer, is a marketing strategy that is highly overlooked, and our own statistics back that up. That's the message.
What's the mechanics of that? That's really interesting. Like, we have a number of products up on GitHub. We have an open source product called Apex, which is like last December, we hit 1 million downloads a week. And which is a data visualization charting engine. And then we have our Ignite UI up there. But what is it? How do you get in touch? Like, how do you create the awareness on GitHub that people are finding your message, what you're doing? Like, how does that work?
We apply the same thinking about how we write on GitHub as to our own website or to a LinkedIn campaign. There's almost no difference to the care that we give when we write about our projects and our assets on GitHub as those other places. A lot of GitHub is, okay, install it like this, boom, boom. And do this, boom, boom, bye. Not us. We really sell the benefit and define the audience. We give the same rigor and methodology to the GitHub assets as we would give to a blog post, as a content marketing agency, as a high quality, high end content marketing agency.
They find you though, like how do
the links right there? It's in the content. It's so every GitHub project.
But like how they find your content on GitHub that to then appreciate what you're doing and then go learn more at your website. Like how do they discover you on GitHub?
That we don't have stats for, but if I were to guess based on anecdotally my own experience and my own journeys, I would say that it's either the search on GitHub or it's Google.
So a developer's on GitHub building out some project, and then they might search looking for some other tooling to help build out their software, and then they might find you. Is that how it's working? Or
yes, except that I don't think there's a filter on it being developers. Because if you put something on GitHub with the right audience and messaging, like in our case, it's we work with B2B tech companies who want to do product positioning and content strategy and then content production. If you say those things on GitHub, Google doesn't differentiate between, oh, that's on GitHub, it can only be shown to developers.
Oh, I got you. So you're doing your standard awareness searches. So Google's feeding them to GitHub, and then GitHub's coming to your site.
And we get leads from GitHub. So in fact, in our current pipeline, our biggest lead is a very well-known AI company who found us on GitHub because we talk both about model context protocol and product positioning, and they need to do a product positioning exercise. So they found us on GitHub, and we could see that the referral came through GitHub.
That's exciting. I love it.
We found it exciting too. Yes.
Yeah, that is exciting. I like it. And is there anything you could share about how do you market an open source product? Like, how do you monetize an open source product? Do you have any thoughts around that?
Sure. Those are two very different questions. And let's not talk about monetization, because that's not quite the focus of the discussion. And it's a very big conversation with many different answers. And I've dealt with it for about 25 years. So we could have a follow-up just on that if you'd like to. But sure. In terms of marketing open source products, I would say that there are basically two different beasts out there. There are the open source products like the Linux kernel or the Drupal CMS, which grew up from the developers who built it and used it. And they along the way decided maybe it needs some marketing. So we were talking to the PHP Foundation last year about maybe doing marketing for them. We ended up not doing it. We would still love to. But oftentimes you do need to market an open source project like the PHP Foundation. And we work extensively with the Typo3 community, extensively with the Drupal community, extensively with DDEV and some others, Sulu, Cilius, to market their open source products. The more interesting answer to that, though, is how do the companies who build open source products market them? And there are lots of examples like Facebook and React, for example, or Google and Kubernetes. How do those big, very marketing savvy companies market their open source products? And what you'll find is that there's a much larger amount of care given to the actual product positioning. And it's treated just like any other product. You have to identify the audiences for whom it's relevant. You have to know what they are looking for. What is their pain point? What do they need solved? And how does that product solve that? And we have in our MCP server a whole methodology called the value map for doing exactly like that. And we bring that value map based product positioning to open source products when we're asked to as a content marketing agency as well. And what the developers in the Linux kernel and the Drupal world often don't know or forget is that they're not the entire world. So you see a lot of the bottom up open source projects marketing to other developers. Whereas actually, you need to look at the whole business ecosystem of why somebody would use that software, not just the developers, because oftentimes the developers aren't the decision makers for the adoption, or they can't pay the bill for it. So yeah, that's how you do it. You look at the whole ecosystem, you identify all the stakeholders, you know very clearly how you solve the problems for each one of them.
Yeah, great. Now, what question didn't I ask you that you wish I would have asked you?
I can't think of one. I'm sorry to disappoint you on that, but I can't think of one right off, because I feel like we really did cover the concept of what is open source marketing, and maybe a bit why would a company want to work with open source marketing techniques or fundamentals. I can recap that for the tooling. It's freedom, data, cost savings, controlling your own data, not being beholden to tech giants who can determine your future. In our case, it's the tools that we put on GitHub and allow people to use, but like you would want to work with somebody who opens up their knowledge and their capabilities and shares it with other people. And then in our case, if you're an open source company or a company that works with open source directly or has an open source strategy, we offer that we're very close to and embedded in multiple open source projects. So you don't have to explain the GPL or the MIT license to us. We know, and we know how to organize community and all of the things that you're probably thinking about in your marketing strategy.
Yeah, awesome. What about, what have you read lately that you really liked? What's a good something, a good book or something you've listened to that you really liked?
I think my brain fog is sitting on in that one. I spend a lot of time just soaking up what is going on LinkedIn and on Reddit. And what I really like where I see there is the enthusiasm that people are getting for very quick product cycles, very quick entrepreneurial starts due to being able to code themselves using AI. And yeah, there's a lot of maybe backlash or criticism saying that code's not good enough. But at Open Strategy Partners, we hired a very seasoned developer as a freelancer to implement some software for us. And he showed us a demo of a front end to the software that he built on one of those systems like Make or Lovable or something. I don't even know which one. And it was gorgeous, but he didn't tell us he built it there. And I said, that's an amazing web app for the amount of time that you're billing us for. How did you do that? And he was like, I just prompted it and it came. And he could code anything he wants. He doesn't have to do that. But people are feeling this amazing empowerment due to these tools, myself included. And they're building the things that they've been, the ideas they've been sitting on for 20 years. I built a sheet music search engine for myself, for example, because I'm a musician. And so in terms of what I've been reading, it's all about how to have that empowerment for yourself or myself to feel the freedom of being able to create things faster than ever before in human history.
Yeah, that's a great thing to share. So that's better than some book to read. And yeah, love it. Robert, how can, if people want to get in touch with you, how can they find you?
Sure. I'm not on X and I'm not on Facebook and I'm not on Instagram. And I'm not on TikTok, so don't look there. But I am on LinkedIn, Robert T. Douglas. We'll put the link in the show notes. And then Robert@OpenStrategyPartners.com. Maybe I need to say it twice. Robert@OpenStrategyPartners.com also reaches me. And then on GitHub, I'm also Robert Douglas, all one word. Once you find me, they're all intertwined anyway.
Beautiful.
You'll get hold of me.
Robert, I really enjoyed that. Really, you have some really good thoughts here. And yeah, you're really right up here on what's happening out there. And a pleasure to meet you. And thanks for being on the show.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure for me as well.
Awesome. Thank you.
Hey, it's Dean Guida here. Thank you so much for tuning in to the AI Data-Driven Leadership Podcast, where we showcase the visionaries who are shaping the future with data and AI. If you're a successful leader, entrepreneur, or business professional and want to share your story on this program, we'd love to hear from you. Visit us at podcast.slingshotapp.io to apply. Got something value out of this interview? Share the love. Take a quick screenshot, post it to your favorite social platform, or text it to a friend. Don't forget to tag the show and use the hashtag AI Data-Driven Leadership. I love seeing your posts and suggestions for future guests. And if you know someone who would make a great guest, let them know about the show. We're dropping new episodes regularly, so don't miss out. Hit subscribe wherever you listen, and if you enjoyed this episode, a quick thumbs up, rating, or review would mean the world to me and my team. Want to stay connected? Visit our website at podcast.slingshotapp.io or find me on LinkedIn at Dean Guida and Instagram at DeanGuida89. Thanks again for listening to the AI Data-Driven Leadership Podcast. We'll see you next time.